Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So far from our text. Let me see. In Christ Jesus, the judge of all the living and all the dead, your fellow redeemed. What's the most famous, most important courtroom scene in the history of the world? Well, in the 1920s, there was the Scopes monkey trial between William Jennings Bryan and Clarence Darrow, which pitted evolution against creation, in essence determined from that time on what would be taught in the public schools. 1930s, there was the brutal Hauptmann trial, worldwide thing. He was a man who was accused of kidnapping and killing Charles Lindbergh's little baby. In the 1990s, there was the O.J. Simpson trial, which was worldwide known, and everybody watched it on TV. And pretty soon there'll be the Oscar Pistorius trial. That is the Olympian who's known as the Blade Runner, who's accused of killing his girlfriend in South Africa, and that trial will take place sometime this summer. All of these trials, and the one coming up, made headline news around the world. And yet none of them can come close to the greatest courtroom scene in the history of the world. That took place some 2,000 years ago. We heard about it the last two Wednesday nights in our Lenten services from our Savior's Passion history. And why is that courtroom scene not only so famous, but so important and the greatest? Because the verdict in that courtroom affects every single person, whoever was or whoever will be. In that courtroom scene, Jesus stood before the high priest and the Sanhedrin, and his enemies were his judge. And they weren't concerned about the truth. They weren't concerned about finding guilt or innocence in Jesus. They were concerned about finding something to make sure that Jesus would be found guilty. Guilty as charged. So they had witnesses, false witnesses that came forth. And they spouted their lies, but they couldn't even agree. And so finally, the high priest took the matter in his own hands and said to Jesus, I adjure you, I command you, by the living God, under oath, are you the Christ, the Son of the living God? And Jesus answered, I am. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. And the courtroom scene erupted. They judged him guilty of blasphemy and condemned him worthy of death. The judgment, death. Well, Jesus, even though he was innocent of any wrong, and was whom he said he was, endured this sham trial. He endured the crucifixion upon the cross, dying for us that he might give life to all of us who were dead in sins and trespasses and headed for eternal damnation in hell. But you know, there's another trial that's coming up that's going to be even greater than that. The greatest trial of all. A trial which everyone will see, for everyone will be there. The great trial of Judgment Day. Well, Jesus allowed the unbelieving Jews to be his judge at that trial in the high priest's courtroom. He said to them that one day the tables would be turned, and he would come in glory and power, and he would be the one sitting on the throne and judging them and the whole world. And that courtroom scene is pictured for us this morning in our sermon text. This vision of John in Revelation 20 is in striking contrast to that courtroom scene in the high priest's palace. We read again in verse 11 and picture the scene. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. We know this person seen on this great white throne is Jesus because we read in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. The fact that our text says the earth and the heavens fled away from Jesus may be a picture indicating the destruction of the heavens and earth at Judgment Day by fire. Or maybe it's symbolizing the awesome power, majesty, glory of Christ that is greater than the world has ever seen up to that point. Well, we continue with our description of this trial, this courtroom scene, verses 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. What an awesome sight. What an all-encompassing, truly worldwide event. No one will miss it. John here is speaking of all the dead, but we know also from Scripture that all the living will also be there on that judgment day. Notice, all the dead will be judged, both small and great. No one will be so great and so powerful that will be able to escape the judgment of Christ. And no one will be so insignificant that it will escape the notice of our Savior Jesus either. In Matthew 25, we again read, all the nations will be gathered before him. In John 5, we're told, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans and Corinthians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So how does this trial proceed? We're told some books were brought and they opened these books. What were in these books? Well, these are the books in which is recorded all the deeds of all the people in the world. The books of the law, requiring perfection, perfect righteousness, and holiness, and recording all the deeds ever done. Read again. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. But there's another book, the book of life. This book is different. In this book are written only names. Seven times this book of life is mentioned in this last book of Revelation. So, what does all this mean? Well, it's very important to note that there are two sets of books. Again, the one set of books lists every action, every thought, every word of every single individual ever conceived and born in this world. It's an historical account of all these actions and deeds. How frightening that could be. Could be? Yes. Could be. How frightening it will be for all of those who are not clothed in Christ's righteousness, who've rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because every evil word, every selfish, sinful action, every lustful, ungodly thought would be revealed and convict them. These unbelievers are breaking God's law. There's no defense. The evidence is overwhelming. Guilty as charged will be the verdict. And the sentence will be this. Cursed to everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. To them, the unbelievers who have their life laid out before them and all their sins shown to them, the judge Jesus will declare, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." What a horrible, horrible decree of judgment. But what about us? What about those who believe in Jesus Christ? My book of thoughts, words, and deeds is no better, probably even worse than many of those. Lord Jesus, please don't open that book and show me my sins on Judgment Day. But there's good news. Our theme this morning says, Jesus is the life giver. Our first point is, Jesus' perfect life of obedience is our righteousness. Jesus clearly tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. The law demands of every single one of us perfect thoughts, perfect words, and perfect actions in order to be saved. And Jesus didn't come to change that requirement. He didn't come to say, well, no, just try your best. Just do as good as you can, and that'll suffice. No, he came to keep the law perfectly in thought, word, and deed as our substitute in our place. And by believing that, Christ's obedience then becomes our own, so that we can say, in Christ, we stand before our Father in righteousness, having kept all the Ten Commandments in thought, word, and deed through Jesus. How do we know that? Because I said so? No, the Bible tells us that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, fantastic words, "For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." In God's book of our lives, all of our Savior's righteousness is listed there right next to our account, right next to our name. That's why the Savior will say to all those who believe in him on Judgment Day, "Come, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Christ's righteousness is our righteousness through faith, and therefore everything we do out of faith in Jesus Christ is well-pleasing to God. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing." In Hebrews we're told that without faith it is impossible to please God. The presence of these good works in our life as a believer is evidence of the faith that is found in our hearts in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is a life giver. His goodness is our righteousness. But there's more. Jesus is the life giver. Jesus shed blood, blots out all sins ever recorded. In 1 John 1:7, we read, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In Isaiah, our Lord tells us, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins." David writes in Psalm 103, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." And the prophet Micah says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever. Because he delights in mercy, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. But all that can happen only by this. Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So even as Jesus' redemptive work, his perfect life of obedience, and his shed blood is a determined factor as to what's written in those books of our actions next to our name, so also is the redemptive work is determining as to whether our names are written in the book of life. The Apostle Paul said that God shows us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8 says the names of God's elect were written in the book of life even before the beginning of time in view of an account of Christ's work of salvation. And that's our third point. Jesus is a life giver. God's grace in Christ alone has recorded our names in the book of life. God did not write your name in the book of life or my name in the book of life because he saw something good in us. He didn't write our names in the book of life because of any merit or worthiness on our part. He didn't write my name in the book of life because I'm a pastor, because you're members of Peace Through Christ. He didn't even write our names in the book of life because he saw in the future someday we'd believe. No, he wrote our names in the book of life solely because of his grace, his undeserved love in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is the life giver. Jesus says he gives life to this earth. In fact, he's the bread of life. We read in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And again in 14:6, which we heard this morning in our Bible class, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The reason that our names are written in the book of life is pure grace. God's undeserved love in his Son, Jesus, who earned our salvation. The reason that some names are not written in the book of life is not because God didn't love them, not because he predestined them to be damned, but solely because they rejected that grace. Solely because they rejected Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and their deeds of unbelief will be remembered and shown to them before the great throne of judgment. Thank the Lord Jesus that he was judged guilty. Guilty by man, the Jews and the Romans, guilty by his Father, for all of us. So on Judgment Day, we are judged not guilty, innocent, righteous. He suffered death and damnation for us, so that his righteousness, his shed blood, blots out all of our sins, and they are remembered no more. So, we can look forward to Judgment Day. We can eagerly look forward to Judgment Day because Jesus, our Savior, is the life giver. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, the life giver. Amen.